Okay. So what's interesting, if you look at Perek Chavav in this week's Parsha, there's a lot of episodes that happen to Yitzchak Avinu that are really repetitions in some way of what happened to Avram, right? Probably familiar with this idea to some extent, the idea that he has to present his wife as his sister, the idea that the Pasuk says, "V'chol ha'be'eros asher chafru avdei aviv b'mei Avraham aviv, sitmum plishtim b'yamalum afar," all the wells that Avraham had dug, so they were filled up. "V'yashav Yitzchak v'yachpares be'eros ha'mayim asher chafru b'mei Avraham aviv, v'yistimum plishtim achari mos Avraham, v'yikra lahem shemos kashemos asher kara lahem avihem." And he digs them again, and he gives them the same names. He also has he has this covenant with Abimelech. He calls the city Beersheba. There's a lot of repetition. In some ways, we don't know that much about Yitzchak Avinu's life, but you get the impression that he was just almost a carbon copy of his father. What's interesting, though, maybe what kind of jumps out at you is the contrast. The contrast is when there is the Ra'av, Vahir Ra'av Ba'aretz, Milvad HaRa'av HaRishon Asher Hayab Yimei Avraham. Right? So the Pasuk itself is already making you remember that there was a famine, you know, a generation before, and Avraham went down to Mitzrayim. And Yitzchak had the same plans. Vayilech Yitzchak el Avimelech Melech Plishim Gerara. He was going to the south. He was going towards Mitzrayim, presumably to be able to survive there like his father did. Vayirai elav Hashem vayomer al tered Mitzrayma shchon va'aret asher amar elecha. Right? So I'm sure many of us are familiar with Rashi on this Pasuk. Why was Yitzchak Avinu told not to go to Mitzrayim? Shehaya daito l'res Mitzrayim akamol sherad aviv v'mei Rav amar lo al tered Mitzrayma she'ata olat mima v'ein chutz la'aretz kedai lecha. Our focus is not going to be about Aliyah or Eretz Yisrael. That's not the focus for now. But what does the Medrash say that Rashi quotes? Hashem says to Yitzchak, for Avraham it worked. For Avraham that was fine, but you have a different goal. You have a different set of midos. You have a different set of abilities. And for you, it's not kedai. That's not the place for you to be. The idea is not going to be the focus of the Sichas Moser, but the idea of this Rashi, the idea of this Medrash, I heard in a Parshishi from Rav Shechter, the idea that often you look at two people, two great people, and especially you look at your Rebbe, maybe look at an older, you know, an older guy, somebody in your family, an older brother. Like, I want to be like that person. You know, that's the kind of person I want to be like. Sometimes to be like somebody, to be means that you're also supposed to achieve your goals. You're supposed to maximize your potential. It doesn't mean you're supposed to be a carbon copy of that person. Yitzchak Avinu was reaching his potential, and that potential, or what that looked like, was different than what it looked like for Avraham. The idea that I heard from Rav Shechter is that sometimes trying to be the same, that's not real. That's not sincere. We can try to be inspired. We can try to learn. We can try to, you know, get whatever we can from everybody, from all of our friends, all of our rebbeim. But to say I'm going to do something just because somebody else is doing it, I want to be exactly like that person, that's not authentic. That's not real. That's not what it means to be an Eved Hashem. That's what I want to talk about for a little while. The idea of individuality. The idea of needing to be our own people. And why that is, what that's about, and then hopefully get something from that. So I want to frame the discussion a little bit, the idea of being an individual, the idea of being your own person in the framework of Elu ve'Elu, right? The idea of Elu ve'Elu, especially as I was going over just my Makoros, right, you know, half hour ago, 45 minutes ago, the expression jumped out at me, Elu ve'Elu divrei Elokim chayim. As we're going to see, that expression's surprising to say. There could be different perspectives, and they're both legitimate, but to say somehow that's all Hashem, that's all divrei Elokim chayim. So there's a famous Gemara in Erevin. Maybe now we can appreciate it a little bit more because we've seen Sumchus this year, right? Sumchus, he has a different perspective on things. Yachloku, as opposed to Amoti Mechaber Alav Araya. So it says in the Gemara in Erevin, Amar Rabbi Abau, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Talmud Hayalo the Rabbi Meir, but Sumchus Shemo. Rabbi Meir had this Gaonish Talmud. He was unbelievable. He was very, very, he was just a giant. Shai Omer Al Kol Davar VeDavar Shel Tuma Arbe Im Vishmone Ta'ame Tuma. Sumchus saw outside the box. Sumchus saw things from a different perspective. Right? Sumchus, every single sugya that they learned in Shir, he could say, I could see it this way, I could see it that way. But not only he could see it 48 ways each way. I'm not sure if 48 is supposed to be, you know, literal, specific, or me, just he could see everything. He could see every different perspective. So that was Sumchus, and then the Gemara continues. We're not gonna read the entire Gemara, but it says at the end, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim Nechelku Beis Shammai U Beis Hillel, Halalu Omrim Halacha Kimo Seinu. V'alalu omer halacha kimoseinu. This fundamental machlokas beishamay beisela. Yotza baskol v'amra elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim v'halacha kibeisela. The Gemara continues to explain why they passing like beisela. That's not our point now. But the idea that you have just these just fundamental different perspectives, different worldviews. You know, I don't know where this first began. If it's more Hasidish or Kabbalistic or from the Rishonim, the idea of midas hadin and midas harachamim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, different perspectives on things. The idea of this Gemara is that everything. Sumchas is 48 ways of understanding this way, 48 ways of understanding that way. Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, all their different perspectives is Divrei Elokim Chaim. So what's that supposed to mean, Divrei Elokim Chaim? It's the word of Hashem. L'chora Hashem has one way of understanding thing, I would imagine. You know, what does it mean? Everything, the different machloksim, it's all Divrei Elokim Chaim. So I'm not going to either give a shiur about what it means, Elu Ve'elu, but I want to take one specific perspective, which I feel like can highlight what I'm trying to get at here. And that's of the Yamshel Shlomo from the Marshal, one of the early Achronim. And he brings from the Mekubalim, what does it mean, Eilu Ve'ilu Dibre Elokim Chaim? So what was it? Unbelievable idea. HaMekubalim Kasvu Tam Ladavar. Lefi Shekol HaNishamos Hayu Bahar Sinai. Everybody, meaning everybody, all of the Jewish people, us in some spiritual way, received the Torah. V'kiblu Derech Mem Test Sinoros. It's not 48 like the Gemara in Erevin, it's 49. 49 is, we're going to see in Shiva Pamim Shiva. 7 times 7. I don't know much about these things. I think I have a vague recollection from the Maharal that what is 7? 7 represents the idea that if every direction you can go in is 4, and up and down it's another 2, it's 6. And 7 is like it's everything plus. It's like the entire completion of things. So 7 times 7 is also the symbolic number of everything. You know, 49. So there is 49 different sinoros, 49 different paths, 49 different, different, I don't know, you'd say it exactly, a sinor is a hose, but different ways of receiving the Matan Torah, receiving the Torah. V'hein hakolos asher shamu v'gamru. That's what Am Yisrael experienced in Har Sinai, was the different receiving this Torah in different ways. V'chol Yisrael ro'im es hakolos min hadeos hamischal kos b'tinor kol echad ra'a derech tinor shelo lefi hasagaso. So what's the Yamshel Shlomo saying? He's saying that even at Maamad Har Sinai, even in Matan Torah, the idea that everybody saw things from a slightly different perspective, there were different madrigas and just different neshamas, different people. And so literally, somehow Hashem, we're getting the sugya of Shabbos, and people were seeing it in different ways, and different ways of understanding what that would be, and what we do and what we wouldn't do. And all that somehow was included in Eilu Ve'elu, literally, Divrei Elokim Chaim, according to this Yamshel Shlomo. It's literally what Hashem gave to us. He gave it to us that it could be seen from different perspectives. And I think just to add on to this, you know, what it means that, why? Why did Hashem give it to us? Why did Hashem give it to us in this way, that there's so many different ways of understanding it? I didn't get to do Ramban this week for Rav Reish. We'll throw in a Ramban here. But it says in Bamidbar, it says in Parshas Baaloscha, the idea Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't deal with Am Yisrael anymore. I need some help. So Hashem says, Es v'li shivim ish mizikna Yisrael. Gather 70 people. So the idea of 70, once you start counting it, you're like, wow, there's a lot of 70s in Judaism. Well, what's that about? So says the Ramban, Kfar hiskiru raboseinu ki shivim umos hen bishivim lashon. We have the idea of 70 nations. We have the idea of 70 languages. I'm skipping a little bit. It says Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, there are 70 malachim, 70 types of malachim. L'chein, says Ramban, l'chein hayam hamispar b'yordei mitzrayim shivim. Again, okay, we see a repetition. What's the idea? V'tziva hamispar ezeh b'shoftei Yisrael. That's supposed to be the Sanhedrin is 70. Why? Ki hamispar ezeh yichlo kol hadeos. B'yoso kol kol hakochos. V'lo yipale mehem kol davar. So says Ramban, also the idea of 70, 7 times 7 is 49. 70 is 7 times 10. The idea of 70 is also the entire perspective of everything. Everything, every different way of understanding things. The idea of Shivim Umos is because each nation has a certain midah, a certain koach that it could excel at, that it could contribute with. That's also Shivim Lashon, because different ways of understanding things. The idea of Shivim Zakenim, the idea of all these Shivim is because that means the entirety of ways of understanding things. V'chendu Matan Torah Shivim Zaknei Yisrael. Ki royu b'mispar ha-shalem ha-zeh shi'ishalem kvod ha-shchina. The idea, I think what the Ramban is getting at, is that Hashem is infinite. Okay, Hashem sees things from an infinite perspective. But it's impossible for us to really comprehend what that means. But each of us has within us a neshama, has a chelek elokamimal, has a part of Hashem. But that has to be finite, has to be limited, because we can't see everything. We can't be infinite. We're finite things. So everybody was given a glimpse. Everybody was given a certain way of understanding things. in our entirety, in our totality, Am Yisrael, the nations of the world, they represent everything. They represent that connection with infinity, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But each of us, on an individual level, we have something that's truly unique. That our perspective, the idea of being mechadesh something in shir, the idea of, I'm learning the psukim and I have a question, I have an answer, I'm learning a rashba and I have a question, I have an answer. We literally, both because of our chinuch and our experiences, but because of our neshama, we have a different way of looking at things. And that's part of what it means, eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, that there's just, Hashem is infinite, His Torah is infinite, and everything that we're saying and everything that we're seeing is part of that. That's legitimate, that's part of that. So this idea of Elu ve'Elu, this idea of different midos, obviously when you're thinking back to Avram, to Yitzchak, Avram represents Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura, they're not supposed to have the same exact experiences, they're not supposed to have the same challenges. Everybody is experiencing and growing in the way that's unique to them, that's unique to who what their neshama is and who they are. So this idea of the Elu ve'Elu, the idea of different perspectives, that goes much beyond just in terms of Talmud Torah, in terms of Shivim Panim La Torah. It's about our entire lives. There's a Gemara which I'm sure many of us have heard, many of us have seen, but the way that Rav Kook kind of explains the maskana of the Gemara, I think is a lot to learn from. The Gemara says in Brachos, on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, famous Gemara, of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Tana Rabbanan V'yasav D'ganecha Ma Tamud Lomar. Hashem says, in, right, the Pesukim of Shema, we're supposed to gather up our grains. What does that mean? Lefi Shenemar V'lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Ezem Yipicha. Hashem said in Yosefer Yoshua, we have to keep on learning our entire lives. Yachol Dvarim Kichsavam. I might think that means literally. I can't do anything else in my entire life. Tamud Lomar V'yasav D'ganecha Hanheg B'hem Minhag Derech Eretz Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael says, Hashem says, act like a regular person. You're going to have to spend time farming. You're going to have to spend time babysitting. You have to spend time shopping. And when you have an opportunity, and try to make that as big of an opportunity as you possibly can. But and then the rest of the time, you're supposed to be learning Torah. But not that every second and every moment you're supposed to be learning. That's not what Hashem wants. It's not realistic. That's Rabbi Yishmael's perspective. How could you say that? How can you say you're supposed to plant? Planting, it's a big deal. We don't really know, because we don't know what it means to plant, but apparently there's a lot of work. You have to plow, and you have to fertilize, and you have to weed, and you have to water. You have to do all these things. That's going to take up basically the entire year, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean they're supposed to do that? How could you do that? What's going to happen to the Torah? I understand you want to say you have to learn Torah all the time, but if they're working, it's going to be such a little time. How could that be? So says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, "Aval bizman she Yisrael osin matono shel makom malachtim naaseis aide achirim." Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if somebody's on a madrega, he doesn't have to work. He doesn't have to worry about it. Hashem will take care of it. And what's the Gemara's conclusion? I'm skipping a little bit. Amar Rabbi Harbe Asu Kerbi Yishmael v'also biyadon. Many people followed Rabbi Yishmael's approach. They worked, they learned, and they did everything that they could, and it worked for them. Kerbi Yishmael Bar Yochai v'lo also biyadon. It didn't work for them. So what's the conclusion? What are we supposed to take away from this? So is Gemara paskening like Rabbi Yishmael? What's the message here? Also, what's the idea of lo also biyadon? What does that mean? Rav Shem Bar Yochai, so they didn't have enough money? Like, what does it mean exactly? So Rav Kook, for those who want to learn Rav Kook, but find it too difficult because it's generally too poetic or too philosophical, too Kabbalistic. So Ein Ayah, which Rav Kook has on Masechta Shabbos and Brachos, is just much more down to earth. I mean, it's still Rav Kook, but much more down to earth explanations to a lot of the Agadotas in these Gemaras. So says Rav Kook, well, what's the Gemara telling us? What's it telling us? This machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rashbi is about the nature of man. What is man? What does Hashem want from us? That we're just going to be totally intellectual. We're going to be learning Iyun all day long. We're going to be learning Kabbalah all day long. We're not going to be working. Or not. We should say that's not realistic. That's not what Hashem wants because I'm not an angel. That is the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What does Hashem want from humanity? Does He want us to try to ignore our physical existence as much as possible? Does He want us to try to be as spiritual and just, just ignore the physicality as much as possible? Or lehefech, to embrace it, to be part of it, to grow with it? So it says, what's the conclusion of the Gemara?
I think what Rav Kook is saying, the way he's taking the Gemara,
The also biyata and lo also biyata doesn't only mean practically they had enough money to buy food in the grochery store. And Rabbi Shmuel Rechai Salmidim had trouble getting food for Shabbos. That's not what it means. Also biyata means they felt like they were fulfilled. They felt like this is who they were, right? Matzah koras ruach. There's a certain geshmak, a certain satisfaction with their learning, with their work. They felt like, I'm doing my tafkid. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. When it says followers, many of them didn't work. It's not only they didn't have enough money. They didn't feel good. I don't feel right. I feel like I'm using my mind too much. I'm not happy. I'm exhausted. I don't feel like I need to get out there. I need to work. It means it didn't feel like that's who they really were. Okay? And what's the conclusion, says Rav Kook? The conclusion of the Gemara is that most, meaning most being 90-whatever percent of the Jewish people, were not meant to be the people who are trying to be completely spiritual. That's not what Hashem wants. That's not what's going to make us fulfilled. It's not what's going to make us happy. It's not how we're going to grow. Hashem wants us to be people who are involved with the world, who are balancing all of our physical and spiritual needs. That's what's going to bring both success and also satisfaction. That's what Rav Kook learns from this Gemara. And it's interesting, as I was going through some of these Makoros that I feel like are trying to bring home the points that I want to bring home, there's a lot of Nitziv. A lot of I'm not going to go through all these Hamikdavers. There's too many to bring here, but one I want to focus on. But again, this idea of Rav Kook that Eilu ve'Eilu is not only a matter in terms of Torah and perspective and understanding things differently, it's also a matter of our different Neshamas also are reflected in just what our goals are, how we live, and what's going to make us satisfied, or how we're supposed to grow. It goes way beyond just Limud Torah. It's about our entire existence. So, unbelievable Hamakdavar, also to Akev, in Sefer Devarim. We're not so much in this week's Parsha. Famous Pesukim. Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem alokecha shu'el mimach. What does Hashem want from you? Ki'im, only li'ir'az Hashem alokecha, tefir Hashem. Lalechetz v'chol d'rachav, to follow in all his ways. L'avoso, to love him. L'avodes Hashem l'kecha, b'chol l'alecha b'chol nafshecha, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Yishmoritz mitzvot Hashem, okay, etc., etc., etc. So the Netziv asked the obvious question. The truth is, Chazal already asked this question. What do you mean? What do you mean? Ma Hashem l'kecha, shu'el ki'im. It's all Hashem asks for. Is everything you could possibly imagine for humanity. Meaning to be the most perfect human being. That's all Hashem wants from you. So what does it mean? What's the pasuk trying to say? What's the idea here? Okay, so there are many different ways to explain this, to try to understand this, but I want to just read a little bit of this Netziv. I think it's unbelievable. The Netziv says, you misunderstood the Pasuk. You misunderstood the Pasuk. Hashem is not asking one person here. Hashem is addressing many, many different people amongst Am Yisrael. D'roi l'das shish arba madregos b'Yisrael. Saying there's four different levels here. First, Hashem's addressing I don't know if you want to call them the political leaders amongst Am Yisrael, but you call them political leaders, the people who are in charge of making sure that, that when they're going to go to battle, that all the people have the right weapons and the different groups are organized properly, the people who are the leaders, the regular leaders. That's one group. Him Rashim Manhigim. The other one is Tamini Chachamim Nizkenim, the spiritual leaders of Am Yisrael, not just the political leaders. Another one is the Balabatim, and then the people who are less educated, the different groups amongst Am Yisrael. So let's take one of these examples. So for example, says in Itziv, you look back at the Pasuk, Ma Hashem Galim Yimach, Ki'im Li'irat Hashem L'kecha, says in Itziv, that's one group. Who is that group? Okay. But also he has this line before he gets into it, Ma Sheshu'el HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mizeh, Eino Shu'el Mizeh. Well, he's not asking from them. Ukim Ad She'asur Lekata Sheinis Kasha Yivar. I don't want to say it's usur for one group to take the other group's goals, or the other group's kind of message here. Everybody has to look at their message separately. So first of all, he said, Roshachem Shiftechem. So what's he saying? Heima nekrim oskim betzarchi tzibor. First, he's addressing the group who's in charge of the needs of the community. Heim einam rishayim lihivatel mizeh lo lasok bi'ahava v'dveikus. Says the Netziv, it's usur for the leaders to say, I'm going to focus on avas Hashem and dveikus b'Hashem. He's not going to be able to serve the community properly if he's always saying Tehillim all day long or going up to some mountaintop to daven by himself. That's not going to work for them. They're not going to fulfill their tafkid, and Am Yisrael is not going to be fulfilled. They're not going to have leaders who are guiding them properly. So what do you need from them? You need from them Yiras Shamayim, because it's very easy, as the Netziv says very beautifully. I'm not going to read it all inside. it's very easy for somebody who's a leader to kind of favor the people that he's close with, or maybe take a little bit of revenge on people he doesn't like, and maybe wait for a little bit of a personal kavod before he gets moving. It's very easy for these people to become self-centered and take advantage of their position. Hashem says, from you I need Yirat Shamayim. And then I go to Tamidei Chachamim, and from you, I need Avas Hashem. That's for the Tamidei Chachamim. They have more time to learn. They have more time to daven. They're able not to rush out every morning to get to work from davening. You daven as slow as possible. You don't rush. You say karbanos every word. That's what I want from you. That's not what I want from the first group. Each group is going to have its own goals here. Each group has its own expectations. This is the second nitziv. I think this might be the last nitziv for now. But the other nitziv, that's actually much closer to Inyanei Diyum in terms of our Parshios. The Netziv explains, how could it be that the Chazal say that Avram was on a lower level of Nebuah than Sarah? I mean, I don't know, how could it be? It could be, I guess it could be. But the Netziv says, it seems a little bit surprising. We know, everywhere we see in the Torah, Hashem is talking to Avram. Maybe a little bit here or there, we see kind of a little bit of an oblique reference, Hashem's talking to Sarah. But really, that Sarah was greater in Nebuah? So says the Netziv, the Chazal say she was greater in Nebuah, it doesn't mean Nebuah, means Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. Okay, Ruach HaKodesh. So what does that help? Why was she greater than Ruach HaKodesh? So the Netziv says, because Avram's mission, Avram's goal was to spread the word of Hashem. Who is he dealing with? He was dealing with the Chittim. He was dealing with these pagan travelers in the desert. He didn't have so much time to be in the tent saying Tehillim. That wasn't Avram's goal. It wasn't what Hashem expected from him. Sarah, on the other hand, she was by herself. I'm sure, she Megayeres HaSanashim. I'm sure she was involved, but in a much less public way, a much less time-demanding way probably also. So for that reason, she was able to focus much more on Ruchnius, on Dveikus, and first she reached the higher level of Ruach HaKodesh. But obviously the Netziv is not Chalila criticizing Avram, but he's saying that Hashem wanted different things from the different people. So this idea that we're saying here in Rav Kook, based on Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this idea of the Netziv in terms of the groups of Am Yisrael, this is true for all of us. This is true for all of us on an individual level. Maybe take a step. I have more makoros, but we'll take a step back to try to bring this point home. I was thinking when I was just starting to date. So I remember speaking to Rav Rosenzweig. He gave me a wonderful piece of advice. You guys can register this back in a back file somewhere for when it becomes shayach. But I think many people naturally, right, when they think about who's the kind of girl that I think I want to marry. So what do? We have lists. She should be kind, and she should be generous, and she should be whatever, whatever our list would be. So Rav Rosenzweig said, okay, I don't know if he said don't have lists or you could have lists, but that's not the ikker. What's the ikker, said Rav Rosenzweig? The ikker is you go out with somebody. I hope I'm not misquoting because this is many years ago. But whatever call is that he said. You go out with somebody and you see if there's a connection. You see if you just feel connected. It's the kind of person I want to build my life with. It's the kind of person I just feel like there's something which clicks. I was thinking about this. What's the godless of this advice, I think, personally? If you think about it, everybody in the room, okay, you want to write. If you could describe the average Shalavim guy, what would you say? He's good at learning, but he's also fun, and he's social, and he whatever, and he's smart. Okay, so you could basically write everybody's characteristics with the same laundry list. Obviously, I'm exaggerating. People are going to be a little bit different, but many, many people are going to have a lot of overlap. Is that accurate? That's absolutely not correct. Everybody, you are just different than each other. We are different from each other. We are different people. I think that's the idea what Rosenzweig was trying to say. A list is good, but a list is very limited. If you really want to know who's the person you're supposed to marry, you have to feel like they're the person for you. How do you know? You have to get to know them, and you have to see if you feel like you're connected. That idea that we are all at our core different people, that's the issue that we're getting at here. That's the idea, I think, that the Netziv and Rav Kook, that's what they're saying. Each of us is different. Each of us has different expectations. So now a little bit of trying to make this more practical. What do we do with this? This is, I think, a little bit of a funny example, but I think it's an emistic example for Shalavim. I need sleep. Okay, I need sleep. I don't need like 10 hours of sleep. I need 7 hours of sleep. I need sleep. Rav Nussbacher seems to not need sleep. I don't know. I don't know if that's really true. It maybe would be good if he slept more, but he doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep very much. Do I have to feel guilty that I'm not sleeping? That I am sleeping? That I should not be sleeping? I hope not, because I try not to feel guilty about that. I don't think I'm supposed to. It's biological. I mean, we're just different people. We have different needs. I can't judge myself based on anybody else but myself. If they feel like, am I being productive? I feel like I'm taking care of my body's needs. And I feel like I'm trying to maximize, the time that I have. Those are the questions I have to ask myself, not if I'm getting more or less sleep than anybody else. That's irrelevant. Each of us is different. Each of us has different needs. That's true about everything. That's true about how we dress, how we talk. Everything about ourselves is unique. to serve Hashem properly has to be me. I have to feel like it's really me. I'm really being authentic. When I'm davening, when I'm learning, I have to feel like I'm me. That's how I'm truly going to serve Him. So if I feel like it's more me to be talking one way or looking one way, then that's what I should do. Obviously, I'm not talking about like going crazy within the guidelines of halacha and snias and everything. What I'm saying is that we don't have to always be looking over our shoulders so much. We don't have to feel this peer pressure, which I don't know. I think sometimes we do feel in Shalavim that there's a certain mold that we're supposed to look like or talk like or appear like. We don't have to feel like that. We are supposed to, Hashem wants us to truly be individuals, truly be ourselves. In terms of learning, and this is something, learning is more or less filled in for us. Our schedule is more or less filled in for us in Shalavim. But there are those quieter times. So first of all, sometimes okay, if they're quieter, if there's a break, don't feel pressure because the guy in your roommate or this other guy in your shir, he's learning all through break. If that doesn't work for you, you need to go for a jog. You need to do something. You need to just chill. That's what Hashem wants from you. But beyond that, let's say that night sitter, whatever time. I don't know when you guys have free time to choose what you want to learn. Not so much time. There's so much time. For some people, it could be Savechik. For some people, Chasidus. But just do what you feel like you're connected with. That connects to you. Because people, like we said before, Eilu Ve'Eilu, just different neshamas with different with different yearnings and just different ways of understanding things. Also in life, when you go beyond Shalavim, in terms of, you know, what do you want to do with your life as a whole? What do you want my job to be? What do I want my role to be? All these things, you can't look at the person next to you. You can't look at your Rebbe. You have to look at yourself. You have to look at your neshama and feel like, what do I think Hashem wants from me? What would make me fulfilled? How will I be able to contribute? And if that means I'm going to go into chinuch, or if that means I'm going to be somebody who learns with the mishnayos with his kids on Shabbos afternoon, and I'm going to try to give some shiur in my community, or just I'll be the guy who's going to be the shul president. Whatever it is, everybody has a different set of skills. Everybody has a different neshama. Everybody is expected to do different things. There's a lot more makoros. I'm not going to be able to get to them all, but I just want to summarize and wrap up with one more makor. So what we've seen so far is the idea that even though the Parsha begins, it's not really the very beginning of the Parsha, in the Parsha it discusses the ways in which Yitzchak was almost a carbon copy of Avram Avinu. In the digging of the wells, and with the covenant with Abimelech, and saying Rivka is Achosihi, and calling it Be'er Sheva, many, many very clear examples of showing the similarities between Yitzchak and Avram. But in this very deep way, the very deep spiritual way, the idea of staying in Eretz Yisrael versus going to Mitzrayim, I mean, this is a big deal. Hashem said, for Abraham, that was fine. For you, that's not matim. Because you're different people. You're different midos, you have different neshama and different goals. And I expect different things from different people. Even though I'm sure Yitzchak viewed himself as going in the footsteps of his father, but sometimes being going in the footsteps doesn't mean they're the same exact thing. They're the same exact thing. You have to be different. You have to be true to what your midos are. And this, I think, stems or could be understood in light of the idea of Eilu Ve'Eilu. If you understand Eilu Ve'Eilu as being reflective of that, even when Hashem gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, it was understood in different ways, and it was received in different ways, and seen in different ways, because we can't see the infinite Torah, which is a reflection of Hashem in some way. We can only see it from a certain perspective. Everybody has a legitimate perspective, but only one perspective. And that entirety of the Torah can only be really achieved by all of us together, but everybody individually has his own unique way of understanding things. And that's true way beyond just learning. It's true about our entire beings, our entire lives. We have to view things as who we are, as individuals. That's how we have to serve Hashem in terms of, you know, in terms of how we learn, in terms of how we talk, in terms of how we daven. In terms of what we do, we have to be people who are true to ourselves and true to serving Hashem in a deep, sincere way. Also, I'll just end with this Alei Shur. So there's a famous Gemara, Gemara Sanhedrin, right? That why did Hashem create Adam, create one person in humanity? So it says the Gemara, Chayav kol echad v'yechad lamar bishvili nivra ha'olam, to tell us that Hashem, it was worthwhile for one person. Says the Sedra Volbi, Hari Adam harishon nivra yichidi. Right? He was unique. He was one. That idea of individuality, of uniqueness, that's true for all of humanity now. If you really think about what it means that we're unique, you should start trembling. I mean, it's a very humbling and awe-inspiring idea. From everybody alive, all the billions of people, in afechad ha'domela, there's nobody else like me. From the beginning of humankind until now, there's nobody who's like me. Nobody will be like me. Nobody's going to have the same mix of abilities, of strengths, of weaknesses, just a perspective. I am completely unique. That's the idea. The world is created for me because Hashem has a certain mission for me that literally nobody else can do. That, and again, it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. I'm going to come, I'm going to create this whole new system, and I'm going to... No, sometimes my mission could be that I'm just supposed to be the guy who learns and gives ma'aser from his tzedakah and spends time with his family. That's my job. It doesn't have to be this huge thing, but it has to be unique. It has to be what Hashem really expects from you. So may we all be zocheh to truly be successful and happy and sincere ovdei Hashem until we can be zocheh to say about ourselves, b'shvili nivra ha'olam.